You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Mavs, 13 of 32, 41%. Doncic, 5 to shoot. Against Harden, Doncic lines it up.
It goes!
Welcome back to You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM with Nick Kostos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Network.
How great is Ian Eagle? Ian Eagle with the call last night. Turner Sports as the Mavericks beat the Clippers 96-93. Paul George making a meaningless three at the buzzer. I guess maybe not meaningless depending on if you got like some kind of number of ball points, whatever. But the Mavericks end up winning the game 96-93. Luka, unbelievable at the end, tosses up a 32-6-9. Nice. But the three-pointer was obviously great. That's the call we played coming back from break. But the play before that, when Paul George tried to like pick his pocket from behind and steal the ball from him, and Luka was able to keep his dribble and find P.J. Washington in the corner for a three-pointer, like those two plays back-to-back, Kawhi Leonard's awesome. Like, Luka Doncic's the best player in the series. Luka's unbelievable. And the Dallas Mavericks tie the series up at a game apiece, and it will now head back to Dallas coming up on Friday. So we saw the Mavericks beat the Clippers last night. Minnesota handle Phoenix in kind of like an embarrassing fashion for the Phoenix Suns, Ken. And Indiana smack Milwaukee in the mouth as that series gets ready to shift back to Indiana. We don't know Giannis's status yet, when Giannis will return for the Milwaukee Bucks. So I don't think we have like Lakers Nuggets to lead off with here. I think we can lead with a couple different things here. So we'll make sure we get it all in. Dealer's choice to you. What stands out the most from Tuesday night in the NBA playoffs?
Kind of all of them and none of them. So just like a big picture thing, which I was going to do last segment, but there's just, you know, JJ McCarthy might get drafted third. You kind of have to cut in with that instead of going with the old NBA unders thing. I'm not the first person to bring this up, but we haven't talked about it a lot on this show, and we're starting to get more and more data points on it. I think most people know, like, as postseason series go along, they get lower scoring and the totals go down because there's familiarity between the teams. You'll see that in the betting market all the time. That's certainly nothing new. But we have sort of like an on steroids version of how the NBA officiated their games to close the season happening in the playoffs right now. The foul rate is almost exactly the same. So it's not like they're calling, I mean, how could you call fewer fouls than what they called in March and April? But they're continuing, they're consistently letting guys play. I think there's no question about that. If you watch the games, you see that. If you listen to how many teams complain about officiating, I mean, the Sixers filed a grievance basically against an entire 48 hours of basketball. The grievance was filed against, as opposed to just like, well, that one play, like, no, just the whole thing. No, just the whole thing sucked, and we're filing a grievance against that. D'Angelo Russell, which is funny because the Lakers shoot more free throws than anybody else. You see it, and this was heavily reported in the back half
LeBron
of the season.
LeBron, too.
Yeah, scoring was way up. In the first part of the year, I think everybody kind of knows this, but in case you haven't followed this narrative through to its conclusion, it is really interesting. Adam Silver had a huge problem in that scoring and foul shooting specifically, the amount of free throws the teams took during games, flopping the ability to draw fouls. Players like Jalen Brunson and Trae Young and some of the even more elite superstars in the league who do it all the time. The Lakers, period. It made the product not as enjoyable. It made the scores astronomical. I think we all remember the Luka 60 plus point game against the Hawks, the clips of just like layup. Like, does anybody like this? And that got to the Players Association and Silver, and it got to like some of the higher ups. And there's no question there's like a concerted decision has been made to change how the game's officiated. It started in like February, March, carried over to the end of the season. This is very measurable in foul rate, which is how many free throws teams shoot, how many fouls they draw, and free throws that they shoot in the course of a game. And it just spiked hard down, absolutely crashed, where you weren't shooting as many foul shots. And you see it. If you watch the game, you kind of know what I mean. But there's data to back up what you're seeing. And I think when we got to the playoffs, you know, I think people kind of thought, Like, yeah, same thing. What, are they going to go back to the bad way? Like, no, they're going to keep officiating the series this way. And it led to a lot of fun discussions, I think, about, well, who benefits the most from this? Like, teams are playing completely differently or have to play completely differently than they did before. If you're a finesse team, like, I don't know, Phoenix, for example, would come to mind. Like, maybe this isn't great for you that this is happening when you play a team like Minnesota, who's the number one defense in the NBA. It didn't have to work out like this. But there was an example of it in that game, and you just look at the scores of some of the games. The Mavs and Clippers just played a 96-93 game. Now, it was a very entertaining 96-93 game, but it was still a 96-93 game. And this is not, you know, November 140, 132 million free throw basketball. And it's fun to watch the totals markets continue to try to keep up with what's happening, because it's not just that the foul rate has stayed basically the same. Now we're in the playoffs and the pace in these games has nosedived, and the pace is down like 6-7 possessions a game. If you go to the first halves, it's different. I mean, it's just, it's all even slower. So now we're playing slow basketball and we're not calling a lot of fouls like we were before. Before, we were playing fast basketball and we weren't calling a lot of fouls. Now we're doing both. And you start to see 96-93, nothing out of the ordinary for what we've seen in the playoffs so far. And in fact, this is a very average scoreline for what we've seen so far. And so it's not like, hey, Ken noticed this, no one else sees this. Look at the betting markets for some of these totals. Every total is down like 4 points. The Celtics closed 210.5 in game one. It's 205. Like, I just, we got it. But I just think, like, if you're not...
And it's been driven down. We'll talk about that next segment, right? That total's been driven down a lot from open. Yeah.
If what do you think the sharp action is on every playoff game that's listed right now, if you had to guess? Because it's like, hey, not only is this happening, but now we're getting into, well, as the series goes on, there's less scoring too. Now we have both those things happening in tandem, where it's like, well, we're going to officiate this way, the pace is going to be slow, and now you know each other really well. So now who's scoring any points? Like, should the total in Cavs Magic be 175? I mean, it's just like, it's going to get really crazy, I think, as these series go on. So, you know, there's always going to be that point. And I don't, like, I am not smart enough to know the answer to this, but there will always be a point where it's like, well, when is it enough? When is it like, well, now these totals really, really accurately reflect what's happening? It's always going to be like a slow drift, I feel like, where it's going to be partly how the game was before and partly how it is right now. But it's really, it's so interesting to follow. We had two games last night go under their totals, obviously, with Phoenix and Minnesota, and then the game we were just talking about. And then the game that I think, if you had to pick a series that would be immune from this kind of, I mean, look, it's the Pacers. They don't want to do any of that stuff. Like, they want to score a million points. The Bucks don't have their best player, who's their only impactful defensive player. If you were going to pick a game that would go over the total last night, you would probably have picked that one. And the Pacers scored a lot of points. But in general, I mean, unders are just crushing. First quarter, first half, full game, the whole thing. Player point unders, parlaying all of these, rebound overs, because remember, it's a slow-paced game with a lot of misses. Remember, I mean, how many, like, 15, 20 rebound games have we seen from guys so far? Jokic has had one. Valanciunas had one the other night against the Thunder. Like, you see this stuff, and it's like, well, this is what's going on. So I think you have an interesting decision in the short term here, tonight, tomorrow night, the next night, where it's like, do you keep playing on some of this with the idea that, like, maybe it runs out of gas soon, maybe the totals get so low that you don't want to play under anymore? Do you try to pick and choose which series you want to do that in? How do you want to play statistical stuff, knowing that this is happening? And it's a real thing. This isn't like home teams did really well in the first game, and there's no frickin' explanation for why that would happen, just random that home teams did really well. There's a big explanation for what's... It's not just like, wow, unders are doing really well, flip of the coin. Not flip of the coin. That's like the whole reason the markets are moving, because the entire sport is being officiated differently. So just like we saw two and one really specific example of that last night with Clippers. So just kind of wanted to like tie those two games together with that. We can talk about the individual games and stuff too, but I just think that stuff's really interesting.
And a couple notes on that. Nick and Ken here, You Better You Bet on a Wednesday. So Pacers-Bucks is the one game that went over the total last night, 233 points. The Game 3 total opens, and like, I don't think Giannis is going to play, although maybe he might. And the total opened less than it closed last night for Game 3 after we saw 233 points scored in Game number 2. And next segment, when we talk about the Celtics and Heat, I do think this is interesting that there has been, like, I think, a good amount of ping-ponging back and forth on this total, where it crashed all the way down and now has been bet a couple points
well,
back
that's
up
been happening,
here in,
right?
The last like hour. It's wild.
Think about it. If it drops like 3-4, this happened with Cavs Magic Game 2, where it's like, I'm sure there's somebody out there or a lot of people out there that are like, look, I know it's down, guys, but like 204, like, come on. And then they play the over and it's like, nah, like I'm not into that in these games right now. Like, I think not betting is fine. Like, you think like, hey, like all the totals dropped, it's all good. I mean, I don't know how you play it over right now. Anything over like 205. I don't know how you play it over on anything. Maybe Pacers Bucks, maybe. But even then, it's kind of like, really? And the Nuggets of Lakers have played the fastest pace so far, I think, of any series. Their games aren't going over. So it's just really, really interesting.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, that was, what, 101.99 the other night, right? The Jamal Murray buzzer beater. Celtics Heat, I believe, was 208.5. Then it was 203.5, and now we're sitting at 205.5. We'll give you a full accounting of how that market has moved, and we'll talk about it coming up next segment here. But I have to ask this question now, and we'll do it at the end of the show. But, like, we can't do the last couple minutes and then, like, not have this be addressed right now. Like, are you betting both unders tonight in the NBA?
I mean, my thing is, like, so I said, like, I'm not smart enough to answer the question of how long is too long. Like, I don't know what to do. Like, this is not my area of expertise. Like, I can tell you who's going to win the Stanley Cup with remarkable accuracy. When the NBA totals unders trend has reached the breaking point, I don't know. I can tell you, like, what average pace and average efficiencies are. Kind of like, if you use that, what some of these totals should be. I can tell you a lot of them are pretty close. I can tell you, like, pace and average efficiency should create an average total. Not that every total should be like this. None of them should be like this. But the average should be, like, you know, 204, 205. It's like kind of what they should be so far based on how the pace and the efficiency are playing. Okay, we had 205 tonight in Boston. We've got lower than that in Knicks, Sixers, and Cavs Magic, which I don't think anybody disagrees with. Clippers, Mavs open lower. Timberwolves, Suns open 209 and immediately got bet down 2 points. Not surprising. So I think my problem is, like, if you bet these unders, you can still be right and you could still win money. This would have been true last. We could have done the exact same thing yesterday and you would have gone 2-1. So I mean, it's not like it's you have to lose now. Just when you see it open lower and you see it get bet down 2 to 3 points, you're like, am I making, like, a good bet? I'm getting the worst of it versus everyone out there. Maybe sometimes the worst of it can still be good. Everybody bets something. You bet it. The Chiefs in the Super Bowl, right? We're all going to bet it. We're all going to win. Like, who cares what the number is? Just these NBA totals. Like, you wish you had the better number. You wish you betted it open. You wish, you know, just, and for people listening to this right now. So just, the minimum I would say is, I'm going to bet there were a lot of people listening that, like, kind of thought it was a thing, but hadn't measured it. And just to provide, like, a ton of clarity that it's, like, not just a very real thing. It's happening. The market is responding to it. The prop markets are responding to it. And, you know, a lot of people like to do SGPs. A lot of people like to bet overs on star players. A lot of people like to do all this stuff. This seems like a terrible postseason for all those, all the bets that people like to make. This seems like the worst kind of postseason to cash any of those bets.
And I think the game from last night that we should talk about first off of that has to be Minnesota over Phoenix, right? So the Wolves beat the Suns 105-93. And by the way,
yeah, how are those Suns star overs going?
Also, like, what about the Wolves start last night at least? Like, Edwards would have gone over in game one. Jaden McDaniels is the star of the game last night. Like, unequivocally, 25 points on, like, stifling defense for the Wolves. They go up 2-0 in the series. And then, like, people will look at the final score if you didn't watch the game and see Minnesota won by 12. Think, okay, like, Minnesota handled them. They punked Phoenix in this game. Like, I think the final score is a little flattering to the Phoenix Suns that they only lost this game by 12 points. I don't think that's kind of like an accurate measurement of how badly Minnesota, frankly, like, and I bet Phoenix in the game, Minnesota kicked their ass in this game, and they've handled them now twice in this series, buoyed by Edwards' explosion in the third quarter in game number one. We both like Phoenix before the series. I bet them last night. All of these things look awful, and the series is going to go back to the desert now. Let's start here with Minnesota and Phoenix. I don't know if I have a lot of confidence in Phoenix here, and I think I'm done trying to, like, dig out of this Phoenix Suns hole for now. Hopefully they're able to get back into it.
Yeah, I mean, the teams go down 0-2 and they go home and they win a couple games. It happens. An evenly matched series probably, you know, happens a little bit more often. The Suns played the Nuggets in the second round last year, dropped first two games in Denver, went home, played a lot better. It can happen. I think what would concern you is, it doesn't seem like, as much as these teams were a great fit for Phoenix in the regular season, and we had Matt Moore on an hour, and he tweeted a lot of stuff about this, where as much as, like, the regular season was like, man, Phoenix really handled Minnesota. Edwards played very poorly in those games. Regular season doesn't lend itself to, like, in-game adjustments from, like, one game to the next, rather. So, like, game one to game two, game two to game three, and how you want to, like, handle a team and how you want to guard them. It's much more just like, well, we're going to do what we do, and we just play the Suns tonight, and we'll see how it goes. There's a little bit more of that. And what you're seeing is, like, the more adjusting, the more effort that's been put into kind of how these teams fit together, that Minnesota's just played way better. Role players have been way better. Maybe that's byproduct of being at home. Towns kind of vacillates from being, like, awesome and stupid and then awesome and stupid, but it's, like, it's helpful and it's good enough in a lot of situations. And I actually think the Grayson Allen injury is just, like, such a big deal. Not that, like, look, Booker, Durant, and Beal all didn't shoot well. So it's not like Grayson Allen got hurt and, like, that's why they lost. But I think it's just a big deal for the rest of the series. Like, I care less almost that they lost both than that, like, a team that has six quality players lost one of them. And a guy who's going to play a million minutes the rest of the series might now, I mean, that looked terrible. He might be unavailable now for, like, several games. He's listed questionable officially for game three. Like, that's a bigger deal almost to me in betting Phoenix in game three than, hey, like, they didn't play very well last night.
Give me 30 seconds on something in either Dallas Clippers, Pacers, Bucks. I think Pacers, Bucks a little harder. We don't know when Giannis is coming back. I will say about, for me, for Dallas Clippers, I think the Mavericks are going to win the series after they won the game last night and how well Luka played, even with the return of Kawhi Leonard.
Pacers, Bucks, the most interesting thing is, like, how much do you want to ride these unders on both Halliburton now and Lillard with how both teams are guarding the opposing team's best player? Double teams, hard traps. We bet Halliburton's under last night at one. Didn't shoot very much. Part of that is because what shots was he supposed to take? He was double teamed the whole time. Like, those two stat unders might be the way to play that series until Giannis comes back.
Maybe just like Damian Lillard second half unders, because he scored a billion points in the first half and then nothing in the second half. It's wild. On the other side, we get you set for all of tonight's action in the NBA and the NHL postseason and the little NFL draft line movement as well, with it moved.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL network.